Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, not just life, but have it more abundantly, have it where it's overflowing. And really, God is that way in every area of life. Psalm 23, if the Lord's your shepherd, your cup runneth over. It runneth over. God wants your cup running over. Whatever cup you have. I got a few cups. How many people got some cups? God wants them all running over. That's his will. He didn't say, well, I want this cup running over, but not this cup. This cup we're going to keep empty. This cup we're going to keep half full. This cup to the brim, and that's it. But this cup, no, God's an overflowing God. He's an overflowing God. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of more than enough. And he's created us to live that kind of life, to live an overwhelming, overflowing, overabundant life. And we see it right here in the Word of God, Proverbs 13:22, in review. It says, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Ecclesiastes 2:26, he tells us that God gives the sinner the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. I mean, this is a principle in his word. We saw in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Job that others will be filled with the money of the immoral, the sinner. Again, another scripture telling us that others, namely the righteous, those that are good in God's sight, they are the ones to be filled with the wealth of the immoral, the wicked, the sinner. Jesus said in John 4:37, and like I said, when I was looking at this last week, I got butterflies with the revelation that God was speaking to my heart. Jesus said, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. I mean, that to me is a great commission from the Lord. Just as sure as he has sent us to preach the gospel, he has sent us to reap that for which we have not labored. It was amazing. Just the very next day, I was going down a road that I'd never gone down before, and I passed by a casino over in Indiana. And as I was going by the casino, I said, now, wait a second. This isn't a coincidence. I got this revelation yesterday, and now here I am driving right through the property of a place that symbolizes wickedness. There's nothing righteous here. There's nothing pleasing here to God. It totally represents the wealth of the wicked. And then I realize the Lord has called us to reap the harvest of the wicked. And we can be specific about those harvests. And so I claimed that specific harvest. And then I passed by it the next couple days. And I would just drive by, see people working out there. All kinds of work that's going on around that property. And I thought, you're all working for me. You're all working for me. The wealth of that wicked casino that represents gambling and drinking and immorality and perversion, all that wealth that's being accumulated through all their hard work has been laid up for the just. It's been laid up for the righteous. It's been laid up for me. So casino money is coming my way. Mark it down. Casino money is coming my way. Why don't you just point at me and say it? Casino money's going his way. It's coming his way. Why not? Is it the Bible? Man, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. Jesus, in a parable that he had given, showed that he reaps where he has not sown and gathers where he has not scattered seed. So yes, we need to be sowing good seed and expect a harvest, but don't just stop. See, again, God is a God of abundance. Don't just stop with reaping your harvest. Go ahead and take the harvest of the wicked. Because you got to get the wealth of the wicked so you can get the wicked with that wealth. And that's what we're all about, isn't it? It's about the kingdom of God. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for him. Now go with me to Romans, the 8th chapter tonight. I want you to notice here in verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself, talking about the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, when a person makes Jesus the Lord of their life and they are born again, they are born of God. And at that moment, the Spirit of God comes to live in them, and the Holy Spirit of God in us now bears witness with our spirit. He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that we are now right with God, and that God is our Father. And now we are one with him. We are children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Now, I know we hear that a lot, and we've said that a lot, and we believe that. But how deep is that believing? How much do we really believe that right now, in this time, we are the children of God? We got that witness on the inside of us, but has it really dawned on our minds? Do we really comprehend what that all means? That God is our Father. God. And we are his children. And then it doesn't stop there. Verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. Now notice these titles that God gives us. These are some very big titles. He's telling you who you are. You are children of God. You are heirs of God. You are joint heirs with Christ. We need to recognize now who God says we actually are, so that we can begin to live up to our name, our title, the title that he has given us. We are heirs of God right now. In fact, over here in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Not everybody's a son of God. Not everybody's a child of God. We talked about that Sunday. But we are. Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. We're children of God. Sons of God. Just like the Son of God. Right? Jesus is the Son of God. And through faith in him, we are now sons of God. Verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How many of you know God made some powerful promises to Abraham? You and I are heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Are you an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ? Then you're an heir according to the promise given to Abraham. And you are also, therefore, masters of all. That's another title. That's another big title, don't you think? I mean, really get a hold of this. Masters of all is what God calls you. Yet he says, as long as he's a child, he does not differ at all from a slave. Well, you remember there over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the apostle Paul was just frustrated with the church at Corinth. And I believe his frustration was even the frustration of the Spirit of God, who was giving him utterance to write the epistle there to the Corinthians. And he said, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people when I was with you, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, because you could not endure spiritual food. Do you remember that? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he said, I couldn't speak to you as to carnal, as to spiritual people. He said, you were carnal. You were babies in Christ, little children, acting like mere men in strife and fussing and fighting about stuff. You're just in the flesh acting like people that aren't even saved, acting like those who are slaves to sin. You're not slaves to sin. You're children of God, but you're acting carnal like slaves to sin, like mere men. So he was rebuking them for that. And here the Bible is telling us, even though a person might be an heir, as long as he's a child, he doesn't differ from a slave. Even though he's master, technically, he's master of all. Come on, you and I are heirs of God. All that is his belongs to us. That's what he's telling us there. We're heirs of God, but as long as we're carnally minded and as long as we're walking in the flesh, then we're not going to differ very much from those who are not heirs of God. We're going to live very similar lives, even though we should be living like we're masters of all, having dominion over the earth. He says, verse 2, but is under guardians. As a child, he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And he's saying, come on, come on. You're no longer slaves to sin. You're no longer slaves to the things of this world, to the elements of this world. In other words, you're no longer a slave, we could say, to money. You are its master. You are God's heir, children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, masters of all. These are titles that God has bestowed upon you and I to help us to see who we are now. In Psalm 82, he calls us gods because we are his children. We're children of God, and he said, because you're children of God, you are gods. So he calls us gods. We also know he calls us kings. Kings and lords. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Who are the kings that the king is king over? You and I. You and I, we are royalty. We're royalty. We're kings and priests unto our God. Now think about it here in the natural. If you were born as the heir of a king, what would life be like for you? How would you think if you were raised where you were never, ever close to lacking a thing? Because you're born of the king. How would you think? What would be your mentality? Your whole life, you grew up in abundance, in wealth and riches. King David, King Solomon. You live in a castle. The nation serves you. You're drinking out of gold goblets. You got gold plates. Not gold-plated plates. I'm talking about gold plates. There's never been any lack. Your royalty, you've been raised in the royal family. What would your thought life be like when it comes to things, when it comes to having things, when it comes to money? Would you be worried about some of the things you are currently worried about financially? What would your day have been like today? Would you have been stressed? Would you have been anxious? Would you have been worried when it comes to money? What would it be like if you could always have whatever you want, whatever you desired? You just click your finger. People run and go get it for you. They prepare it. You can have it. There's no limit to what you can have because of the wealth of your kingdom that you've been raised in the royal family. So we got to think about these things because, friend, you are in the royal family. And your God, he is your father. This is what you are now born again, born into. You've been born into the royal family. See, now, when we all get to heaven, you know, we understand that when we all get to heaven, you know, then there'll be no want, no lack there. Isn't that right? There'll be no want, there'll be no lack, there'll be more than enough in heaven. I mean, they pave the streets with gold. It's not a problem. They got big pearls on the gates. In fact, the gates are pearls. There's no want, there's no lack. Well, Jesus said that we ought to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God wants us to have on earth what we're gonna have when we get to heaven. No want, no lack, an abundance of everything that we could ever want or desire. Needs are nothing in heaven. And friend, I got news for you. The same God that causes needs to be nothing in heaven is our God right now on earth. And he's no different on earth as he is in heaven. God does not have a split personality. He is not two-faced. God's not two-faced. He's not one way in heaven. Fill everybody's goblets. Overflow. It's not, you know, that's how he is. But on earth, he's like, that's enough for you. You're drinking too much. You've had too much. That house is too big. Of course, your house doesn't even equal one room in the house you're going to have in heaven. A lot of real estate. A lot of big things. It's a big kingdom. Big God. Big king. That's who he is. And friend, as he is there, that's how he is now. The only difference between there and now is that there they see him and thus they believe. We don't see him, but yet we can believe. We can believe because we have his word. And that's what he's looking for from us. He's looking for us to have that kind of faith right now so he can be that kind of God right now in our life, because that's the kind of God he really is. And he wants to show himself strong on your behalf. But he cannot do it when we are carnally minded, even as the Apostle Paul said, I wanted to tell you things, I wanted to share spiritual things with you, but I couldn't because you couldn't handle it because of your mind. Your mind is too carnal, and therefore you cannot handle these spiritual truths. That's that way with everything. God wants us to see who we really are so that we can live up to that title, these great big titles that he has bestowed upon us. We need to live like children who have been born in royalty, because that's what he's looking to raise us right now, raise us up in royalty. And of course, there's a renewing of our mind, getting our minds renewed with his word. But we need to let him do it. Let him put his big thinking in us. Lord, help me to see what you say I am so that I walk in the light of it. Money's not a big deal when you see yourself as master of all. But if you see yourself as a little worm, a little maggot, a little nothing that God has saved, just an old sinner saved by grace. If you just see yourself that way, then money and the elements are going to be big, because you're a maggot. Everything's big to a maggot, right? Everything's big to a worm. The more wormy we are in our thinking, the bigger everything is to us. But the bigger we see ourselves, then the smaller those things that were a big deal become to us. It was such a big deal. But we got to realize, money's not a big deal. I'm telling you right now, kings aren't walking around going, you know, worried about money. Kings aren't worried about money. Money's not a big deal to kings. The Bible talks about King Solomon. How many people know our king's bigger than King Solomon? Jesus said someone greater than Solomon is here. Did he say that? He says, someone greater than Solomon is here. And he was referring to himself. Our king is greater than Solomon. And in the days of Solomon, gold was as nothing. Silver was nothing. That was like dust in the nation of Israel. It was nothing. And someone greater than Solomon is here with us right now. And that's the kingdom we're a part of. The New Jerusalem. That's what we're a part of right now. These things are nothing to us. Now, see, this is key to us walking in it. Because as long as money's a big deal, you're not. And as long as you're not, money rules your life and it controls and calls the shots, you don't. And as long as you don't call the shots, you are not functioning as a king, you're a slave. You're a slave to finances, you're a slave to your condition. So you see, this is a big deal. Getting your mind renewed and hearing what you're hearing tonight is a big deal. We need to get a hold of this and really let it sink in and begin to look in the mirror and say, good morning, King Stephen. Good morning, Queen Jean. You got to start declaring these things and start realizing that for us, abundance is nothing. It's normal. It's not being rich is normal. Yeah, I said it. Being rich is normal. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because you have to understand this is a part of our redemption. This is a big part of what Jesus did for us when he went to that cross. And he bore our sins in his body. He didn't just take our sins. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. This is a big part of our redemption. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God now we are righteous in him because he bore our sins in his body. It doesn't stop there. I don't know why the church world stops there, but we need to go on further. We need to understand that Jesus became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That is just as much a part of our redemption as in taking our sins and making us righteous. Just as much. Just as much. Just as much. That word poor, he became poor. It means to be reduced to want. Needy. That's what it means in the Greek. To be reduced to want. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are experiencing want in your life? Want. You got needs. You're working on getting those needs met, aren't you? Everybody's working hard, right? We got needs. How many people got financial needs? Huh? Come on. How many people got some financial needs? How many people got some financial wants? There's some things you want, you've been wanting for years, but you ain't got it yet. Is that true? Is that true? That's you. Jesus became want. He became your want. He became needy, having needs, need stuff, so that you could be rich, have more than enough. He became poor that you through his poverty, that word poverty in the Greek means the condition of one destitute of riches and abundance. This is such revelation. How many people in this room have riches in abundance? Riches in abundance. Financial riches in abundance. Riches in abundance. See, again, I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to spiritualize Scripture. Man, I got spiritual riches. I didn't ask you if you had spiritual riches. He ain't talking about spiritual poverty. And he ain't talking about being spiritually rich either. You got to read things in its context. He's talking about financial giving. That's what this is all about. It's all about finances when you read it in its context. So right in the middle of talking about money, he says, Jesus became poor that you through his poverty might be made rich. He's talking about material wealth. That's what he's talking about there. Riches. So the word poverty means the condition of one destitute of riches and abundance. How many people in this room are destitute of riches and abundance? I'm talking monetarily. It shouldn't be a hard question. I mean, I could probably go through your checkbook and your life savings and figure it out pretty quick. Destitute of riches and abundance. An abundance of riches. Well, I got some nice things. How many people got a nice house? Got a mortgage? It ain't yours, it's the bank's. How many people got a nice car? Got a nice car. Yeah, you got a loan on it? Yeah, is it leased? Yeah, it ain't yours, it's the bank's. You're destitute and abundance. It ain't there. There ain't an overflow, oversupply of money for most Christians. There is not an overflow, overabundance of finances. And guess what? Jesus didn't just become not having anything. Jesus became not having wealth and riches in abundance, so that you, through his not having riches and abundance, may have riches and abundance, that you may be rich. Destitute of riches. The word riches means abundant and valuable possessions, wealth, abundantly supplied with resources, means or funds, wealthy, an abundance of money, valuable possessions or property. An abundance, not just have a few things, but an abundance of money, valuable possessions, or property. Jesus became destitute of that. That's a big deal for a king. It's a big deal for a king to be stripped of riches and abundance. It's a big deal for a king not to have riches and abundance. And God's letting us know here that Jesus didn't just come to get some of your needs met and to help you through financially. He came to redeem your life from not being rich and full of an abundance of every good thing. That to God is a curse. We think poverty is out here being homeless, not having anything. But from God's standpoint, you're in poverty because you're not in abundance. Because you don't have an abundance of money and valuable possessions. You are in poverty in the king's eyes. That's poverty for a king. That's poverty for a king. You're a king. You're heirs of God. Joint heirs with the King of Kings. And for you not to have an abundance of money, valuable possessions, or property is poverty in the sight of God. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to be thankful for every little thing you have. That's a big key to walking in the abundance. Be thankful where you are on the way to where you're going. That's another principle that a lot of folks stumble over. You're never going to get there if you whine and complain over where you are. If you whine and complain over the lack, you'll never get to where God has called you to be. Why? Because it shows that your mind is on the money, not on the master. Not on our Lord. When your mind is on him and what he says, and you understand who you are in him, that you in him are master of all, and that you are a king and you are a Lord, then now money is not a big deal. So there's no worries. There's no worries. And so we're just thankful for where we are, and we give God praise for where we are and who we are in him, and believe and expect to see our destiny fulfilled according to the scriptures. It's time to see ourselves as God says we are. And I'm expecting that. How about you? Now, again, you can have a I'm not settling for anything less mentality, right? You can have a very determined, a very focused attitude of this is mine and this is how it's going to be, while at the same time not worried about what you currently see and what you have been experiencing. You can rejoice in where you are, knowing now who you are and what is coming to pass in your life. What is coming to pass in your life? God is grooming you in royalty, and you are maturing from the childhood stage, and you are coming into adulthood spiritually, and you are now rising up to walk in the fullness of God and walk as an heir of God. Jesus didn't just come to rescue us from being totally impoverished. He came to deliver us from not being rich. Jesus took our not being rich condition, poverty, so we could be rich. That's what he actually did. He took our not being rich condition. He took our not being rich. He took the condition you're experiencing right now. He took your not being rich condition so that you could be rich. Say, money's not a big deal to me. It belongs to me right now. You know, just I think of the prodigal son. Right? He wanted to leave father's house and go out. And so he took his inheritance. He was an heir. Took his inheritance, went out, spent it all. He got separated from the Father, and so the money ran out. That'll always happen. You get away from the Father, and the money will always run out. You get away from the King of Kings, and you ain't much of a king anymore. Your money's going to run out. So all the money ran out, and then, you know, he humbled himself and came back home. And, of course, the father was quick to restore him, put the royal robe back on him, and kill the fatted calf, not the little skinny calf, kill the fatted calf. And, I mean, prepared a feast, had a big celebration for his son. But then there was that older son you don't hear too much about. That older son, he found out that his dad was having a big party for his brother who had gone out and lived recklessly and spent all his father's hard-earned money. And he just couldn't believe his father was having a party. So he himself had himself a pity party. And so the father heard about it and came up there and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I can't believe this." He said, "This son of yours, he goes out, wastes all his inheritance and spends it on reckless living and everything else, and then come back here, and then you go ahead and have a big party for him. When's the last time you had a party for me? When's the last time you killed the fatted calf for me? When was the last time you got this for me and gave that to me?" And I love the father's response. He said, "Son, you are always with me. And all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours." See, we know this is a type of the father when it comes to that prodigal son, right? Oh, our Heavenly Father, I mean, how many messages have been preached about that? Oh, our Heavenly Father, he had his arms reached out to his prodigals, and he's calling them back home, and he just loves you, and he wants to forgive you, and God's just so merciful. What about this part of the story? Is this still like our Heavenly Father today? How about those who aren't prodigals? How about those who are in church, who are in Father's house? How about those who are walking in obedience to his word? What's the father's attitude towards them? We believe in the father's attitude towards the prodigal. What's the father's attitude towards his sons that are good in his sight? What does he say to you? What does the Father, God, say to you? Son, child of God, all that I have, this is God, all that I have is yours. But you know the other sad part of that story? Is that older son wasn't enjoying much of it at all. He wasn't enjoying it. If he wanted a fatted calf, it was his for the eating. See, we got a lot of Christians today. "Ah, where's my fatted calf? I really want a fatted calf." And we cry to God for fatted calves. And we cry to God for robes. Nice pretty robes. I just want a new wardrobe. I'm not asking for much. That's your problem. You're not thinking very much in line with the word. God, everybody's waiting for God to do stuff. Everybody's waiting for God to do stuff. And God's like, "Hey, kids, all that I have is yours. If you can reach the top shelf, why don't you open it and just take out what you want?" Daddy God, he keeps the billfold on top of the dresser. Now, of course, if he can't reach the dresser, then you never get to the billfold. Right? You know, different from a slave, the guy that's outside working in the field. You're just a baby in a house. You can't reach the billfold. You can't reach what God's got for you. You're too immature. You're too much of a child. It's time to grow up. Grow up. How do you grow up? Seeing these things, believing these things, embracing these things, putting these things in your mouth, speaking them out, declaring them, expecting them, exercising your faith. And as you grow up, bless God, next thing you know, you come up and you look down at the billfold. "Thanks, God. That's your God. That's your Father. All that he has is yours. This older son had access to it. He wasn't enjoying it. Was he? He wasn't enjoying it. I think we need to learn from this story. You might be a prodigal tonight. You need to repent and get to the altar. Get your life straightened out with God and know that God is merciful. He loves you. He forgives you. He'll dab some oil on you and bless you and restore you. But for the rest of you who are sitting in Father's house week after week waiting for Daddy to do something nice for you, he's got a word for you tonight. All that he has is yours. Why don't you go ahead and put that in your mouth and declare that and take it by faith? All that he has is mine. All that he has is mine. I'm a king. I'm royalty. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. All that's God's is mine. It belongs to me. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is how we're supposed to live. Rich is just how we're supposed to live now. It isn't some kind of special thing. It isn't like some kind of special privilege. It's normal. See, that's the change of mentality. It's not some special privilege. It's not some spectacular thing that you're rich. That's normal for God's children. That's normal for heavenly beings who are enjoying God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It's normal. Being wealthy, being rich is normal. Say it. It's normal. Who do all these things belong to anyway? Proverbs chapter 19 verse 10 says, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. Notice that. Luxury is not fitting for the wicked. The fools, right? Isn't a wicked person foolish? Sinners? They're foolish. They shouldn't have luxury. That's not fitting. God says that isn't fitting. Luxury isn't fitting for a fool. Wealth and riches isn't fitting for a fool. Who's it fitting for? Who's it fitting for? It's fitting for the righteous. It's fitting for royalty. Luxury is fitting for royalty. It is very unfitting for royalty to not have luxury. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 5. It says, there is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly, there's that foolishness again, is set in great dignity. Fools are set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. They ain't got nothing. I have seen servants on horses, or slaves, that could also be translated, slaves of sin, heathen, sinners. I have seen servants or slaves on horses while princes walk on the ground like slaves. That's what we see way too much of. He said, this is an evil thing I've seen under the sun. That's in this lifetime, under the sun. Heaven's above the sun. We're the ones under the sun. He said, this is an evil thing. God's got to look at this evil. You want to see something evil in the sight of God? We think of evil, we think of somebody killing somebody. That's evil. We think of something really gory and gross and something terrible and vile and that. Ooh, that's evil. That's evil. You know what else is evil in God's eyes? When the ones that are rich walk around like slaves, and these slaves to sin walk around like they're in charge of everything. They're walking around enjoying all the luxuries of this life. That is evil in the sight of God. So what are you going to do about it? That's an evil thing. I don't want to be a part of an evil thing, do you? I want to be a part of changing evil. I said, I want to be in charge of changing evil. Let's get this thing turned around. Let's change this thing. Well, how do we do it? Well, Jesus was trying to get it over to us over in Mark 11. Jesus said, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, that could also be translated, that word ask could also be translated desire. I think it's the regular King James Version, it says desire. Whatever things you ask or desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Sounds like kings. Sounds like royalty. Whatever things. This is how God thinks. We've got such limited thinking. We think so small. God says, whatever things you ask, whatever things you desire, believe that you receive them. You'll have them. Believe that it's that way in heaven? Do you believe it's that way in heaven? Did you all work too hard today? Some of you are really driven today, huh? Slaves of money, slaves to the world system, so focused on money, so worried about money, so worried about your needs being met, it's hard for some of you to even open your heart and receive this word from God tonight. We see that in the book of Exodus. Children of Israel, because of hard labor, when Moses got up there and came in there and preached good news and preached a promised land, he said, right now, you are living like slaves here in Egypt, but God's got a plan. He's going to bring you out, and he's going to bring you in to a land flowing with milk and honey. It's got houses you have not built. It's got harvest fields you've not sown. Oh, he's got a land of plenty. And the Bible says they could not hear him. Because of anguish of soul, because of the cruel bondage and forced labor. They couldn't hear Moses. God said, I got a land of abundance. They couldn't see it. Because the last time he came and preached to Pharaoh, Pharaoh made things worse for us. Hey, folks. How many people would say it got a little worse this week since you heard the word last week? That's a good time to get discouraged. No, it's a good time to get persistent and say, yeah, I know I heard that last week and the devil added more bricks to my laboring. And he said, you can't have straw this week. I'm going to break down the car and I'm going to take this out from under you too. And I'm going to make it a harder week for you. And I'm going to get you to not listen to these words of the preacher Moses. But we're going to listen, aren't we? We've learned from those of old, and we understand how it works. And we understand there is a promised land ahead. And we'll go through whatever trials and tests want to arise. But we're headed into that promised land. And that Red Sea's going to split too, by the way. You haven't even gotten to that yet. But just stay in the boat, friends. We're going over to the other side. Oh, mark my words. Oh, the devil will try to put the screws to you, man. He'll try to get you to disbelieve what God said by turning up the heat. But you just go ahead and turn up the living water, praise God. And you spray yourself with the good word of God. You keep yourself hosed down real well. And you'll watch and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You'll see his power come through for you. And he's bringing to pass even now his word for those who believe it. I believe that there's a transfer taking place, and the wealth of the wicked is now coming into our tents. Woo! If the devil turns up the heat this week, you just do a little jig. Do a little jig. Do a little jig. Why don't you laugh a little bit at the devil? Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! Shout, I'm wealthy. I'm rich. I got need of nothing. I got more than I could ever want. I have whatever I desire. Whatever I ask for, it's mine, and I receive it with persecution. Oh, yeah, the devil will try to persecute you. He'll try to put the pressure to you, but that's okay. The reward is great enough. Hallelujah. We got a lot to celebrate about. Jesus said, only believe, and you'll see the glory of God. You'll see that manifested awesomeness of God in your life. That's how it works. Devil fights you so hard on this. He don't want the money in the church. He don't want God's people rich. He wants the wicked calling the shots. He wants them influencing society. He wants them controlling everything. That stops now. Amen. Cheers. Right now. I don't have to see the money to know it's so and to enjoy it even now in my heart. It's such a big deal. Jesus became poor that you might be made rich. That's a big deal. Jesus ceased being rich and wealthy and having abundance so that you could have it. Wow. I think that's something to take serious. See, we got to go through life. We got to understand who we are now. We got to understand this, church. We got to understand this. Stop with the worms. We got to get this now. It's time to see ourselves. Royalty. Royalty. Money's nothing. I have whatever I ask. Whatever I ask. Whatsoever things I ask, I get it. It's how I live. It's my life. It's how it's going to be in heaven. That's how it is now. I get whatever I want. Whatever I ask. My Father doesn't withhold any good thing from me. You don't earn this. You don't earn this. He bought and paid for this on the cross 2,000 years ago. Here's the other problem. You preach something like this and people they fall in love with money. Money, riches, money, riches and money. Oh, you covetous thing. We'll go after that demon too. The covetous demon. He gets all stirred up. We don't fall in love. Money isn't a big deal. Did you get that part of the message? Money's not, that's just normal. That's just life. You know what's a big deal? God. God's a big deal. Fulfilling the plan of God, that's a big deal. Doing the will of God, that's a big deal. The money's not a big deal. And that's what we got to get a hold of. Money is not a big deal. I ain't crying over money. I will not cry over money. I'll cry over God. I will kneel down. I cried before I came out here tonight. Just cry. I love crying before he gets my tears. Money didn't earn my tears. Amen. Jesus earned my tears. Yes. Money doesn't get my joy. Money doesn't get my peace. Money doesn't get a rise out of me. God gets a rise out of me. He moves me. God moves me. Money doesn't move me. People give me money, great. You know what moves me? The love and the faith, the love and the faith. That's what moves me, because that's what moves him. Money's just money. I'll always have money. I said, I'll always have money. Turn to somebody and wave at them and say, I'll always have money. Wave and tell somebody else too. I'll always have money. I'll always have money. Money's not a big deal. Faith and love, those things are a big deal. Can you say amen? Praise God. Thank God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.